Morning, everybody.
It has been so good for me to be here and to be able to hear the gospel preached. It's such a rare thing. And every time you get to just sit and listen to it, you are reminded, this is what I love. And every time the flesh, as you stand up behind a pulpit, thinks for 1 minute, I need to tell something that's going to impress everybody. All you have to do is sit in a pew and listen to a man preach Christ, and your heart will say, no, I don't. That's it. That's all I need, and that's all we all need. And it has been just wonderful to be here. And I thank this congregation for hosting this weekend. It's a lot of work. Thank all of you ladies so much for the wonderful food and all of the hospitality. It's just, it's been wonderful. And I appreciate my brother Clay for inviting me. And I appreciate Melinda for having us in her home and taking care of us. I've been thinking about and praying about this message in this moment. And as I was looking around yesterday, I was sitting here and then having dinner and just taking it all in. I'm very encouraged by and I rejoice in how many young people the Lord has given this congregation. Young adults and young children. And that's who I want to speak to for just a minute. I really don't want to preach. I just want to tell you something. I want to tell myself something. I want to tell every adult who God has given a heart that is converted into a little child. Our Lord said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. And I want to be as simple and as to the point as I can possibly be. I just want to get to the simple heart of the matter. And I pray that the Lord will give all of us right now the heart of a child. The heart of a child. And give us simple faith as a child. And lead us into the simplicity of Christ. Those of us who have been called to preach, we are trying as hard as we can. We are. We're studying. And we're trying to come up with outlines. And we're trying to make some sense out of it all. These men know you study and you read and you scribble notes. And then you have to go back and you have to see what is no good, what is right for today. How does all this go in order? We're trying as hard as we can. We're trying to make outlines. We're trying to make sense of it all. We're trying to deliver it in a way that is clear and not a dissertation that just goes over everybody's heads. Our brother said it yesterday. We're trying to get to the heart. We're trying to get to the heart. And I have an outline this morning. You're going to see my head look down at my notes quite a bit. I have an outline here. And I'm going to follow my outline. But my prayer is that God might let us enter into the heart. Enter into the heart of this. I just want to get to the heart of the only thing that matters. And I want to remind us that I am speaking to the young people and any adult who has been given a young heart. I want to get to the critical issue that we all are going to have to deal with when we stand before God. Every person in here individually will have your turn standing before God. And there's one critical issue in that moment. And then after I tell us what that is, I just want to tell you a story. And then I'll be done. If you'll look with me at 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Let's read the first 8 verses here. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. That stone is Jesus Christ. God the Father chose Him. We talk about election. God chose Him. He said, Behold, this is my elect. How are we elected? Only in Him. God chose Him to be the head of the corner, the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. He's the foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the stone. He is the living stone. He's the living stone. That's what verse 4 said. He is the living stone. Just like that rock that was smitten for the people of God, and out of that rock flowed living water. He is the living stone. And verse 5 says, Ye also as lively stones, as that rock is, so are His people. That living stone, as He is, so are they. Those that are chosen by God, God chose and gave them to Christ. They are lively or living stones built up on Him. All of His people are built up. They do not build themselves up. This is what believers love about believers. They're humble. That's what we love about each other. Christ in a person makes that person humble. And they don't build themselves up. They are built up by Him, on Him, made to be a spiritual house, one where He dwells. He said, I'll dwell in them. As the great high priest of His people, He offers up spiritual intercession. This altar built up. Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Him. Verse 5 says, You also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now, many people do not want Him. Everybody says they love Jesus. But many people do not want Him. They do not want a chief cornerstone. They want to be their own chief cornerstone. They do not want to be built up. They want to build themselves up. They do not want to be acceptable to God by Jesus Christ through the intercession of His work, through the intercession of His blood alone. They want to be acceptable to God on their own. They will not have Christ by Himself purging their sins. Not interested in that at all. They want to purge their own sins. They want to work their own way. They want to be their own contractor. They want to be their own builder. I'm going to build my own house. So they disallow God's chief cornerstone. Reject it. Deny it. It's just a stone of stumbling to them. That's all it is. A rock of offense. But in the end, at that last day, every soul that rejects the chief cornerstone is going to be confounded for it, we just read. Going to be confounded, put to shame. Not just shamed and not just disgraced. Our Lord Himself said, ground to powder. Ground to powder. Now here's the issue. This is what I hope these children will learn. And this is what I hope I'll learn. Look with me, if you would, at Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 42 says, Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That's what it's all going to come down to. That's what it's all going to come down to. Either a sinner is going to fall on God's chief cornerstone, or God's chief cornerstone is going to fall on that sinner. Either way, sinners are going to be broken. Every single sinner is going to be broken. We cannot get out of being broken. Every sinner on this earth is going to be broken. We are either going to be broken unto salvation or broken unto damnation. One of the two ways. Every soul must deal with the chief cornerstone. Every soul. Now let me tell you what my sincere prayer is. And this is why I say I'm not trying to preach right now. I want every soul in this room. I want myself. I want my wife. I want my children. I want my friends. And I want their children. And I want you to fall on this stone. I want you to fall on this stone. Don't mess around. Today's the day. Don't wait any longer. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Fall on this stone. I know it's a great world out there. And I know we have careers. And I know there's stuff we want to buy. And there's things we want to do. I understand all that. First things first. Fall on this stone. I want to be in heaven with you. I want to be at the feet of Christ. I want to be at the feet of Christ. Lord, help me fall on this stone. I want to be there with you. And I mean that. Fall on this stone. Kids, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days draw nigh. The closer you get to teenage years, the more rebellious you're going to become. I know from experience. You're going to think your parents are idiots. You're going to think this is the most foolish thing you've ever seen in your life. This is the biggest waste of time I've ever seen in my life. Before those days draw nigh, may God cause us to bear the yoke in our youth. Fall on this stone. Fall on, we're going to have to deal with the chief cornerstone. This is God. Not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We're going to have to deal with God. Adults, fall on this stone. Let's all, right now, in the heart, fall on this stone. What is it to fall on this stone? I can tell you what it's not. It is not just to acknowledge that there is a stone. That's not falling on the stone. It's not just to acknowledge that there is a God and there is a Christ and there is a hope. That's not what it is. It is to literally cast your all on Him. Cast your all. It's not just to believe in the stone. It's to believe on the stone. That's the difference. No proud sinner will do that. No proud sinner will do that. No proud sinner will fall until he sees his need to fall. God must reveal to us first that we can't stand. In that day, we're not going to. Who shall stand? Not us. We cannot stand. We are going to fall. God must reveal that to us. And then He must reveal to us the rock to fall on. And then He must reveal to us that rock is Christ. And then He must give us the faith to let everything go and fall. Fall on Him. Whoever does will be broken. Whoever does will be broken. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Let me show you why in Psalm 34. Turn with me over to Psalm chapter 34. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." How does a sinner receive a truly, I mean truly, broken heart? How does a sinner receive that? By falling on the Lord Jesus Christ. By falling on Him. The Lord is near every sinner that casts his all on the chief cornerstone. Cast his all on Christ. When a sinner falls on Christ, it breaks all of his pride. It breaks all of his self-righteousness. It breaks all of his works. It breaks everything He's holding in His hands. He says, "In my hands, no price I bring." It's all broken. Everything I am, everything I have, it's all broken. To fall on Christ is to have no support of your own. Every person in here has fallen. When you are in the process of falling, You have no support of your own. Nothing. Nothing of your own. When a sinner falls on Christ, all of his support is just broken out from under him. Everything is knocked out from under him. Everything he thought he could stand on is knocked out from under him. To fall on Christ is to have nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to fall. The disciples said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Where else can we go? I'm broken. I have nowhere else to fall. I have nowhere else to fall. I have nowhere else to fall." That leper who came to the Lord, don't you love these stories in the Scripture? Aren't you so thankful for the stories the Lord gave us? Don't you love that leper? That leper that came to the Lord, that was a broken man. That was a man who had fallen. He cast his all on Christ. He came and he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." This is what it is to fall. "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Blind Bartimaeus was a broken man. There he sat, casting his all on the Lord. He cried, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. This is all I have. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they cried, "Hush, Bartimaeus. Shut up." And he cried the more, "Help me, Lord. Please help me, Lord." That publican in the temple, he would not lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, crying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." This is what it is to fall on Christ. That woman, that dear woman who crawled into the house of that Pharisee, knowing what she was, a harlot. Can you see this woman literally crawling into this house? A trail of tears led straight to the Master's feet. She started crying all over his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. She cast her all on him. She'd fallen on him. May God cause us all to fall on Christ. Every soul who does, Christ will catch him. Every soul who does. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I'll in no wise cast out." How do you come to Christ? Well, no man can come except the Father draws that man. But if he draws him, he'll draw him with a fall. We'll come falling on him. And every soul who does, he'll catch him, he'll save him, he'll stand him back up, build him up on the rock, the chief cornerstone. Look with me. Let me tell you a story and I'll close. Look with me at 1 Peter 2 again. Verse 4 says, "To whom coming?" Christ. Coming to Christ. "To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious." Precious. "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious. And he that believeth on him shall not be confounded.'" Now it says in verse 7, "Unto you, therefore, which believe," to every sinner that God has chosen to give faith to, and authored that faith and performed that faith, who will finish that faith, "unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious." That's how you can tell if you have fallen on him. How will I know when I fall? How will I know If I have fallen on Christ, here's how you'll know. You will truly say in the depths of your soul, He is precious. Oh, He's so precious. I want to tell you a story that I told in Kingsport. And the first time I told it, I just said, the pastor. And I do that a lot because I mention Brother Henry a lot. And I think I mention him too much. I mention his name too much. And so a lot of times I'll say, a commentary writer said, or something like that. But I'm going to tell you, it's Brother Henry Mahan. I heard this story, and this is what it is to fall on Christ. This is what it is. Back in the early 1950s, Brother Henry was in his 20s. He was in his mid-20s. Back in the early 1950s, there was a man in the military, and he was overseas, and he had a heart attack, a big heart attack. And he was in the hospital over there, and the chaplain, as false preachers do, he was relentless to this man. His name was Charlie. He came by, you know, started talking to him. Now, you know, Charlie, you almost died now. Don't you want to get right with God? And don't you want to this? And at the time you make your decision, you need to get baptized. And so finally he broke Charlie down, and Charlie made a profession, and he baptized him. And the military was sending Charlie back to his hometown because of this heart attack, which happened to be Ashland, Kentucky. So this chaplain called a pastor in Ashland, Kentucky. Charlie was not a religious man originally. And he called a pastor and said, here's the situation. This man Charlie's had a heart attack, and I've already talked to him. I already led him to Christ now, and he's made his profession, and I've already baptized him. Will you accept him into your church with him already being baptized by me? Or will you require him to be baptized? He was trying to find a church that would just let Charlie come right in on his work. And Brother Henry wisely said, oh, we'd love to have him. You just tell him to come on. He's welcome to sit with us and hear the gospel preached. Brother Henry said when Charlie got there, that man was on fire for Jesus. Buddy, he was just big talk and big this and big that. And he was there and everything was great and started out just great. As he became healthier, as he started to get his strength back, he was able to go do more things. And they started seeing Charlie a little less, and then a little less, and then a little less, until finally they didn't see him anymore. Brother Henry, back in those days, had a radio broadcast on every weekday morning, and it was before Pro Tools. You couldn't email the file. He had to go to the radio station and preach a 30-minute message on the radio Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every morning. I said, how long did you do that? He said, 20 years. Can you imagine? So Charlie used to sit at home and he'd turn the radio program on to ease his conscience because he didn't gather with God's saints anymore. He thought, well, I'm hearing the gospel. I'll just sit over there. One morning, Brother Henry had great liberty on the radio. And the program was over. And he got his hat and got his coat and all those kinds of things and walked out of the station, got ready to get in his car. And the station manager opened the door and ran out and said, you have a telephone call. Somebody's called the station. So he went back inside and said, hello. And the man was on the phone bawling his eyes out. He said he was trying to tell me something. I couldn't understand what he was saying. And it was Charlie. And he finally figured out it was Charlie. And he said, Charlie, what's wrong with you? And Charlie said, I'm lost. And Brother Henry said, I'm glad. And he said, you're glad I'm lost? And he said, no. I'm just glad you finally realize it. And oh, Charlie was crying and he was so broken. And Brother Henry said, I'm going to come over to your house. So So he got there and the door was open. And Charlie was sitting on his couch, bawling his eyes out. And Brother Henry said, "Charlie, let's talk about the gospel." And he said, "It won't do any good." He said, "It's too late for me." He said, "I am a wretched, no good, miserable, vile, worthless, wicked sinner." Brother Henry said, "Charlie, you are the prime candidate." He opened up his Bible, 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, "Read this, Charlie. Christ came to save sinners. Sinners like Jacob. Sinners like David. Sinners like me." Charlie asked him, he said, "Do you really believe God will have mercy on me?" He said, "To all that call upon His name." So, Charlie started settling down and he came back to gather with the saints again. And Brother Henry said this time it was different. It was different. This was a broken, humbled man. And he said he didn't miss a service. He came not only to every service, he came early to every service. And he said he got there so early he didn't know what to do. He was the only one there. Brother Henry would be there going over his notes, trying to get ready, and Charlie would be out there with nothing to do. He'd go to the piano, and he couldn't play the piano, and just start hitting notes. And he said it seemed like 6 months. He was out there just making ruckus on the piano while Henry was trying to get ready. And before the service, one night or morning, he came in and got Henry. He said, "Come here, I want you to hear this." He'd been working on something. So Henry goes out. Charlie sits down at the piano and with one finger he plays, "Naught have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it, and I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. This is my story. To God be the glory. I'm only a sinner saved by grace." One Sunday, a visiting preacher came. Henry said it was a visiting preacher. My guess is Rolf Barnard. But a visiting preacher came and he preached on, "Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? This is life eternal, that they might know Thee." That they might know Thee. Preach, "Do you know Christ? Who He is." Not just that He is, who He is. And the message was over, and this visiting preacher stepped down from the pulpit. He was walking back to his seat, and he said, Charlie always sat on the second row. He looked right at him, and he said, "Son, do you know Christ?" And Charlie said, "I didn't used to, but I do now. Oh, I know Him now." And the man said, "Well, I'm glad." And he sat down in his seat. After the service was over, Brother Henry was invited to go to another man in the congregation's house for lunch. And while he was there, the phone rang. It was Charlie's wife. She found out he was over there, and she called and I gave the phone to Henry. And she said, "Can you come over here quickly? Charlie's had another heart attack." So Henry went over there. Ambulance got there. Henry rode with him in the ambulance over to the hospital, and they were working on him the whole time. And got there, went in the ER, and the doctor saw him and immediately said, "It's too late, he's gone." They pulled the sheet up over his face, and Henry and the man who he was having lunch with, they went together and they were standing there, just standing there. And Henry asked that man, he said, "What is the last thing you remember hearing coming out of Charlie's mouth?" The man said, "I don't remember." And Brother Henry said, "I do." That preacher just asked him, "Son, do you know Christ?" And he said, I didn't used to, but I do now. That man left this world falling on Christ. He left this world casting his all on Christ. Everything he is, everything, all of his hope. That man experienced the difference, and this is what I want us to get a hold of. That man experienced the difference in playing games, playing the game of religion, even while sitting in a true gospel church, playing the game of religion and falling on Christ. And there's a difference. Let's not leave this world not having fallen on Christ. Let's not leave this world. We have someone to fall on. We have someone to fall on. And to you that believe, He is precious. He is so precious. Fall on Him. Stay there and rest. Stay right there. Thank you, Brother Clay.